Good morning. This is the talk for St. John's Church, Birkdale, from the 23rd of April, 2023. And this morning I am reading the sermon which was written and delivered by Reverend Roy Doran. And this is Tim Wright reading it on behalf of Roy. Well, as you'll be aware, if you listened in last week, we are now into our second week in our new series looking at Nehemiah. And the kind of series is entitled, Is It Too Big a Task? And this morning we're going to look at Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 10. And the heading for this morning's particular talk is Preparation for the Work. So if you want to have your Bibles handy, that we're going to be reading Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 10. But before we do that, let's just start off by asking ourselves a question. And that question is whether or not any of us have ever been fearful about what has either happened or what might happen in the future. Have you ever been fearful? Well, fear is very much a natural human mechanism, and it's part of our makeup. And it's true to say that it can be horrible to go through fear. But actually, when the things we fear most actually happen, well, it's not always as bad as we first thought, or certainly as bad as we first feared. In the reading from Nehemiah this morning, we discover something of Nehemiah's fear of speaking to King Artaxerxes, because it was against the protocol of anything worrying any of the king's staff to show any emotion. If any of them did show emotion, then there could be serious consequences. So let's just start off by reading from Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 10. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." Well, I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour in his sight, let me send to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy?" And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted me my requests. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Well, if we go back to the first few verses of the reading this morning, you hear that the king notices fear on the face of Nehemiah. And you know, fear can often show in a person's face, even if they keep things buried into themselves, or at least we think sometimes we keep things buried into themselves. And this is exactly what's happened to Nehemiah here in the king's presence. He just couldn't hide his true feelings. He'd been moved to be honest with King Artaxerxes about his feelings because the king had seen the sad expression on his face. So he was right to feel fearful, really. But Nehemiah opened up. He told the king just how he felt about the city where his father had been buried, lying there in ruins. And we heard last week about the fact that the place was just in ruins. The walls had been completely destroyed. And prior to sharing this with the king, Nehemiah had spent a long time in prayer before the Lord, before he had the courage to be honest with the king about his sadness and concern. He had taken his concerns, first of all, in prayer to the Lord. Well, there's a lesson for us already. And it was as a result of continuous prayer that God had actually given him the courage to speak to the king about his concerns. But fear can be a terrible thing. It can cause us to behave in particular ways we wouldn't normally do. We often try to run away and not confront our problems. It doesn't make them disappear, it just makes us bury them deep inside, and that alone can cause us so much harm. But God is greater than our greatest fear. And when we invite him into the equation, then not only will we begin to face up to our fears, but we can defeat them. God, I believe, is the first person we should take our fears to, because not only does he understand us better than we understand ourselves, but he can and often does give us the courage to face up to them. One thing I want us to consider this morning is this. When you give your fears to the Lord, we have to try and realise that there can be a tendency to continue for us to worry and be fearful. And this can be a real battle for all of us. But if that's your experience, then go back to the Lord again in prayer and then try and leave it with him. Don't keep going back to the same fears. Leave it with the Lord. As a slight aside and on a personal level for Roy, who delivered this talk, years ago, Sue and Roy had a great, had a great fear of boats and water, and she would never even consider going on a cruise. So they often limited themselves in travel because of the fear that Sue had. She'd travel on a plane, but never on a ship. It was a bit bizarre because you'd have thought that more people would have been fearful of flying than sailing, but not the case here. And Roy and Sue prayed earnestly about this several times, and eventually Sue found the peace she needed and as a result took her first step on a ship. And now, well, she can't wait to go on another cruise. So you see, in reality, they took it to the Lord and in faith they stepped out. Because remember what Roy said a number of weeks ago, God plus one, God plus you, is a majority. And you might have all sorts of fears about forms of travel which can rob you of some of the beautiful experiences that life can hold for you. It might be fear about something which you're being asked to do by God and you can't come to terms with it for fear. But whatever it is, don't let fear put you off. Take it to God in prayer. And Nehemiah did just that. And that gave him the courage to share with the king what it was that was concerning him. Now, the interesting thing here is that the walls which had been broken down were the walls of Jerusalem. But Nehemiah never actually mentioned the name of the city to the king. Instead, he tells the king that it was the city where his ancestors were buried. And he shared his concerns over the desecration of the graves because of the dereliction of the walls. And this really was God at work in and through Nehemiah. Because the city of the people of God had been destroyed against God's will. It's an amazing story. And in the weeks to come, we're going to hear more of this man of faith. The rebuilding of the walls took over 12 years to complete. But the Lord was with Nehemiah. Now let's bring this a little bit closer to home and closer to what God is asking us to do here in Birkdale. What walls is God asking us to rebuild in Birkdale? Because at one time, it's probably fair to say that many people, if not most people in our community, would come to church as a regular part of their lives. But because of things that have evolved through distractions in the world, different values that people have, sport, shopping, all sorts of things that people get involved in on Sundays, our city walls have been destroyed. Not literally, but metaphorically, our city walls have been destroyed. And it's no easy task to rebuild, but we have to. And like Nehemiah, we have to spend time before the Lord, gaining the courage, despite our fears, of reaching out into Birkdale with the good news of Jesus, which can and will transform people's lives. And sharing that good news is a crucial part of our calling as Christians. And when we realise that it is a big task, sometimes it's easy to say, well, I can't do that. Or let somebody else do it who's better equipped. Well, it's the vicar's job, isn't it? All of these phrases is really fear that can lay behind our reluctance to take up the challenge. But instead, maybe, what will I do? What can I do? Don't worry about what people think of you, but take up the job that God is asking you to do. Because God has given you the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a true believer, then the Holy Spirit will live and dwell in you, not only to guide you in your daily living, but to enable you, to facilitate you in carrying out the tasks that he's calling you to do. And this means that despite the task, which is definitely ours, we're not doing it alone, because God is with us and he will enable us to fulfill the task together, because we're very much part of a team who were called to complete the task. Using a modern picture of a building, or building a wall, should I say, there are many parts. First, the foundations need to be dug. Therefore, who in our church community is good at creating solid foundations of faith? Who's good at teaching? Who's good at bringing the word to people? Who's good at praying with people? And secondly, after the foundations are built, there's the preparation of the thing which will hold the bricks together, the sand and the cement and the water to create the mortar. Now, a cement mixer could be used today. But maybe, you know, we need people who can mix up the faith a little bit in people, can stir the passion of the faith in people's lives. Maybe that's better for you. Maybe you're a better person who can talk to people about faith. But do not be fearful in any way of the task the Lord calls you to do. Fear will hold you back. And if that happens, the wall will never be built. And what holds the church together? Well, it's the word of God, which has to be preached faithfully and studied so that the foundation on which we build will hold firm when the storms of life will come our way. Don't be fearful of spending time together in Christian prayer. It's said that Nehemiah spent 4 months in prayer before having the courage to go and see the king. 4 months. We meet here with the King of Kings weekly in our worship, in our prayer time, in our fellowship, in our study. Without these things, we're trying to build in vain. And we all need to continue to grow, learning new skills, discovering new gifts and talents we have. But let's not be worried about using them, and let's not be worried about failing to really deliver on the potential that we have within us. Each of these tasks will take different people with different skills. What gift has God given you? Do you know what gift it is? Have you sought these gifts? It may even be the natural talents which you've been blessed with and using these things that you have learned. God can use them in order to fulfill the tasks he has called us to do. It will be a great thing if we look back at the faithfulness of those Christians who've gone before us, who built the churches that we enjoy today. And the reason churches sometimes close is not because of the distraction of the world, really, but it's because people don't use God's gifts nor the natural talents the Lord has given them in order to extend his kingdom. So as we go on in the next few weeks and we look at the building of the wall, we realise that it takes time, and it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of people. And the challenge for us is, are we really going to be willing to be part of the team that rebuilds the wall? Don't be fearful of the task the Lord wants us to be involved in. He will inspire us, he will enable and empower us, and he will encourage us. And then we'll see things change, lives transformed, and the extension of his kingdom. Amen.